أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page. And inshallah ta'ala, today we are on page 61, which is the final page of the third juz in the Quran, Surah Ali Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse that we're going to begin with today, which is verse number 84, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل آمنا بالله وما أنزل علينا وما أنزل على إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى والنبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون. Say, we believe in Allah and in what has been sent down to us and to Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Yaqub and the tribes. We believe in what has been given to Musa and Isa and the prophets from their Lord. We do not make a distinction between any of the prophets. It is to him that we devote ourselves. This verse is similar to the verse that we covered towards the end of the first juz in Surah Al-Baqarah. It is in fact very similar in terms of the word and the words and the meanings of the verse. And so that's something which we covered previously. And if you remember the last episode, we discussed those verses of this surah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the importance of following and supporting the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of how it's not befitting for a Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal to call to himself and to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah Azza wa Jal took the covenant from all of the prophets and messengers that if our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam happened to appear during their time and whilst they were living and during their mission, then they would follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they would become from his followers. And so Allah Azza wa Jal then says, as in the last verse that we covered in the previous episode, أَفَغَيْرَ دِينِ اللَّهِ يَبْغُونَ. Do people seek out a religion other than Allah's religion? Meaning there is no other way except the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no other way except the way that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to his prophets and messengers, each one of them for their appropriate time and generation. And for us then living today, that means that anyone that came after the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has no other choice, no other way, no other path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except through and by the path of Allah Azza wa Jal through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so here Allah Azza wa Jal in verse 84 then is saying that this is the belief of all of the prophets, all of the messengers of Allah, that we believe in Allah and we believe in everything that Allah Azza wa Jal ever revealed to any of his prophets and messengers. And we don't make a distinction between them in the way that some religions make distinctions, that they accept some of them and they reject some of them. Or they say that different ones had different calls in terms of the essence of what it is that they brought. We believe in all of Allah's messengers, all of his prophets, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Not only that, but furthermore, we believe that all of them were united upon the foundation and the essence of this religion, and that is the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, la ilaha illallah, that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and without partner. And then the differences that they had in terms of their specific laws, their specific jurisprudence, the specific ahkam that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to them, that may differ from one prophet to another. But all of those laws and all of those ahkam have been abrogated by that which was then brought by our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so therefore his call, the revelation that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to him, the Quran, that is the final call and that is the final revelation. And we, as all of the prophets and messengers of Allah did, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, we devote ourselves entirely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal then stresses this in the next verse, in verse number 85, and he says,
وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ.
If anyone seeks a religion other than Islam or complete devotion to Allah, it will not be accepted from him. And indeed, he will be one of the losers in the hereafter. So Allah Azza wa Jalla then says very clearly, and this is similar to a verse that we covered already towards the beginning of Surah Ali Imran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testified to his own oneness, and alongside his testimony he mentioned the testimony of the angels and the people of knowledge. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna ad-deena 'inda Allahi al-Islam." Indeed, the religion, the true religion in Allah's sight is the religion of Islam. Which shows therefore the role of the prophets, all of the messengers brought the religion of Islam. What they had was in essence Islam. And so the religion of Nuh and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa and Dawood and Sulaiman and Zakaria and Yahya and all of those other prophets that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Quran, and the prophets whose stories and whose names we don't know of, but we know that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent them as he sent many prophets and messengers to humankind, all of them were united upon this, that their call was the call to Allah Azza wa Jalla, the call of Islam. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says here, وَمَن يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا, whosoever seeks a religion other than Islam, whoever wants to come closer to Allah Azza wa Jal other than Islam, that's something which we don't accept in our religion from our theology. This thing that there are many paths and ways to God, many paths and ways to salvation, so long as you follow a path, it's okay. That actually contravenes the doctrine that we have within our religion. Our religion says that there is only one path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one path to salvation, one path to His reward and mercy in the hereafter, and that is the path of Islam. The path given to us by our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, if someone seeks other than this path, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ, it will not be accepted from him. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, but instead he will be from the losers in the hereafter. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never from the Quraysh of Mecca or from the other people or other religions that coexisted with the Muslims in Arabia, did he accept this premise that you're okay and we're okay. Your religion is fine and our religion is fine. You do as you wish and we will do as we wish. And that is why when the Quraysh, for example, used to come with some of their policies and some of their ideas in order to stop the rise of Islam and the spread of Islam amongst their people and their community and their families and so on, one of those proposals that they came up with is that they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, "O Muhammad, why don't you worship our gods for 1 year? We will worship your God for 1 year. You worship our gods 1 year, we worship your God 1 year. And we'll keep changing like this to show everyone it's okay. Like, we kind of disagree, but at the same time, we can coexist. So you do what we do for a year, we'll do what you do for a year. And we'll switch and stop like this." And that's because that is a religion that doesn't have a firm basis or foundation anyway, where a person would come and they would suggest something like this. But even so, the Prophet ﷺ didn't accept this. And instead, he said, "Lakum deenukum waliya deen." To you is your religion, to me is mine. We don't have in Islam this concept that we can take and cherry pick parts of our religion, as we've already mentioned in the tafsir of a number of verses in Surah Al-Baqarah. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be people of true devotion, true submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepting wholly and completely, full-heartedly, all of what is the religion of Allah azza wa jal, the religion of Islam. And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 86, he then says, كيف يهدي الله قوما كفروا بعد إيمانهم وشهدوا أن الرسول حق وجاءهم البينات والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. Why would Allah guide the people who deny the truth after they have believed and acknowledged that the messenger is true, and after they have been shown clear proof? Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jalla does not guide the people of oppression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how can these people be guided? Once they know the truth, they know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is truthful. They know that the Quran contains the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have been shown the way, they know the way, they acknowledge the way, even if it is only to themselves or privately or amongst themselves without declaring it publicly. And still, despite all of this, they turn away. And that shows us that the guidance or finding guidance and accepting guidance is truly a gift and a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not as simple as just simply knowing or logically understanding or even believing at some level or accepting that it is the truth at some level, because there are so many obstacles that are also in the way of that belief. Some people have their own personal issues. Some people have the society and its pressures upon them. Some people have jealousy, enmity, pride, arrogance. All of these things are battling with one another. These emotions, these feelings, these different conflicting interests, all of them are battling one another. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us very clearly in this verse that there are people who know that this is the truth and they still don't accept. And we have examples of this even from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you look at, for example, the stories that speak about Abu Talib, some of the stories that speak about, for example, even Abu Jahl, some of the stories that speak about some of the chieftains and leaders of Quraysh, that they came to a point that they logically understood that this religion is something amazing. This Quran is amazing. What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling to is good. But the barriers that they had to overcome in order to be able to make that final leap, that final jump and enter into Islam, those barriers were just too difficult for those individuals. Too high, too difficult, too strong. And so they stopped from taking that final step and believing in Islam. Not all of the people are like this. Not all of the people will accept that it is the truth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are a group of people who know this. And despite this, they will turn away. How can Allah azza wa jal then guide people like this who, after knowing the truth, choose to ignore it? How can they still expect to be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Instead, what they have is the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they've made a conscious decision to turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal then says in verse number 87. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ أَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Such people will be rewarded, or their recompense will be rejection by Allah, or the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal, the angels, and all of the people. And the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means to be removed from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, to be distanced from Allah's mercy. And the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know, encompasses everything. There is nothing in the heavens and the earth except that it comes under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah azza wa jal divided his mercy into 100 parts. One of those parts he calls to descend upon the earth. And it is because of that one path, one hundredth, that Allah azza wa jal allows people to have mercy to one another. Even the animals will show mercy to one another, to the extent that even the most fiercest of predators, when it comes to their own cubs and their own offspring, they will be gentle and they will be kind and they will be loving and they will be merciful towards them. And 99 parts of that mercy Allah Azza wa Jal kept for himself for the believers on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says that these people have the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal, or upon them is the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the curse essentially means asking that Allah remove them from his mercy. And even if they are not removed from his mercy in this life, and they may be removed from parts of his mercy in this life, they will be removed from all of his mercy in the next life. Because those 99 parts of mercy are exclusively for the believers on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And all those other people will be removed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And being removed from Allah's mercy on the Day of Judgment, therefore, means that they will be entered into the fire. And that is why if, for example, in the Sunnah, you find a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that whosoever does something, then upon them is the curse of Allah azza wa jal, that is a major sin. It is something which should be avoided at all costs, because that is one of the greatest and most severe threats of punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if so and so does such and such a thing, then Allah azza wa jal will curse them. Like, for example, the people that were cursed to engage in riba, in usury, or the people that are cursed when it comes to alcohol. These types of people that Allah Azza wa Jalla, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed, they are under a severe threat of punishment. And that severe threat is that Allah Azza wa Jalla will remove them from his mercy. Those people are still Muslims. We believe if a Muslim takes usury, alcohol, whatever it may be, they've committed a major sin. But they're still Muslim, and they're still people of Tawheed. But that's a dangerous thing that they're upon, because it means that Allah Azza wa Jal may choose to punish them for those major sins. It may mean that person is on a slippery slope, because the more and more that they engage in that type of sin, it may lead them further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for some people, that means in the most extreme sense that they will leave their religion. May Allah Azza wa Jal keep us safe from that. Why would anyone want to place themselves under the threat of Allah's punishment, Allah's curse, Allah's wrath and his anger? But here Allah Azza wa Jal says that these types of people, not only do they have the la'na of Allah, the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal, they have the curse of the angels, all of the angels, with all of their numbers. And they are a vast creation in so many numbers that we cannot possibly enumerate or count them. وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, and all of humankind. So everyone and everything curses those people. And so it is not just the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal that they are under or upon, but all of the people are supplicating and invoking Allah Azza wa Jal that He places His curse upon those people. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, therefore, in verse number 88, those people will have the greatest of punishments and the most eternal, everlasting type of punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
خالدين فيها لا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينظرون.
And so they will remain therein forever with no relief or respite from their suffering. Those people will remain in the hellfire forever. They have Allah's curse, the angel's curse, the curse of all of humankind. They will remain therein forever, meaning the hellfire, because of their disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they turned away and rejected Allah azza wa jalla and His religion. And when you are in the fire, or the people of the fire are in the fire, there will be no relief. لا يخفف عنهم. Never will the punishment of the fire be lightened for them. Never will it be lessened for them. Never will there be a moment of respite or a moment of relief. ولا هم ينظرون. Nor will they be given any opportunity, any time to wait, any delay in terms of that particular punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But from the mercy of Allah azza wa jal, is that if a person is in that stage or in that situation, so for a non-Muslim, they have always, so long as they are alive, the opportunity to turn around and to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to repent. Just as the Muslim, who's a Muslim, they're a believer, so they're not from the people of the eternity in the fire, but they've committed major sins. And some of those sins may have the threat of punishment of Allah's curse. They also have the opportunity, these Muslims, that they should turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they should make tawbah to Allah azza wa jal, that they should ask Allah azza wa jal for His forgiveness. And that is essentially what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 89.
إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِن بَعْدِ ذَٰلِكَ وَأَصْلَحُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ.
Not so those who afterwards repent and mend their ways. Indeed, Allah azza wa jal is most forgiving, most merciful. Unless, therefore, those people will be in eternity in the fire. They will have all of these curses placed upon them, except and unless they turn to Allah Azza wa Jal in tawbah. And tawbah is an amazing act of worship. The concept of tawbah, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah Azza wa Jal tells us elsewhere in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ, that Allah loves those who frequently repent. And the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءَ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. The best of all of the children of Adam commit sins. And the best of those who commit sin are those who then turn in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal says that this concept of tawbah is open to everyone. You have the opportunity each and every single day, because each and every single day we sin, and we have many sins, and we make mistakes, and we make errors, and we oppress people, and we do harm, and so on. Allah Azza wa Jal says every single day you have the opportunity to make tawbah. And the beauty of tawbah is that if Allah Azza wa Jal accepts that repentance and is done sincerely, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes the slate clean. Allah forgives that sin. Allah expiates a person's evil that they have performed and committed. And so here Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِن بَعْدِ ذَٰلِكَ, except for those who repent and they change their ways. وَأَصْلَحُوا, they change their ways. So it's not just about repenting, but about actively doing something which is good. So for that Muslim who's engaged in usury, part of that repentance is that they do good, meaning that they leave off that usury. Part of the one who's drinking, is into alcohol, and someone drinking, that part of their tawbah is that they leave off alcohol. And for the non-Muslim who's rejected Allah Azza wa Jalla's religion, therefore part of their tawbah and their repentance would mean that they turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, they accept Islam. If this is the case and people do this, they make tawbah, they rectify and mend their ways, they do good, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, then indeed Allah Azza wa Jalla is oft forgiving, most merciful. Allah is ready to accept your repentance. Allah is ready to forgive and show you mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to guide you to the straight path. In verse number 90, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, however, those people who refuse to repent. And those people who remain obstinate and continuous upon their path of evil and disbelief, for them there will be no respite. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse number 90, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ ثُمَّ ازْدَادُوا كُفْرًا لَنْ تُقْبَلَ تَوْبَتُهُمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الضَّالُّونَ. Although the repentance of those who having believed then increased in their disbelief, meaning they were people who knew Iman and then they changed their religion and they turned away, it will not be accepted, for they are the ones who have gone far astray. Someone who after Iman and knowing Allah Azza wa Jal, knowing Islam, maybe they were a Muslim, and then they leave, they apostate, they leave their religion, they go back to disbelief and they increase in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for such people there is no repentance. So therefore, for a condition of repentance is Iman. Allah Azza wa Jal only repents and accepts the repentance of the people of Iman. You must believe in Allah, worship Him alone in order to repent to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do not, doesn't matter how much you repent and the manner of your repentance, Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept that type of repentance. Indeed, those people are astray. In verse number 91, Allah Azza wa Jal then says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبًا وَلَوْ افْتَدَى بِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. Those who disbelieve and die as disbelievers will not be saved even if they offer enough gold to fill the entire earth. Agonizing torment is in store for them and there will be no one to help them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, therefore, if someone is on kufr and they die upon that, because that's the point after which there is no scope for repentance. No one can repent after they have passed away. Those people, once they die upon the state of disbelief, and then they understand the reality of their situation, that there is a resurrection, that there is punishment of the grave, that Allah Azza wa Jal was alone worthy of worship, that there is no other God besides Him, no other religion that is acceptable to Allah Azza wa Jal except Islam. Once they realize this and that reality becomes true to them, they will wish that they had the likes of the earth full of gold with which to ransom themselves. They would want to have all of the earth filled with gold, which is possibly more than any person can imagine in terms of wealth, and they would give it all away to ransom themselves. Not a part of it, which in itself would be a great deal of wealth, or a quarter, or a half, or three quarters, all of the earth. And that is because when they understand the reality of the punishment of the fire, everything else will become insignificant. All of this wealth and all of the dunya and everything within it will have no importance any longer. But Allah Azza wa Jalla says, for them will be the worst of torments and punishments, وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ, and no one will come to their aid. In the last verse of this juz, which is now onto the next page, verse 62, but we'll take it because it is the last verse of the juz number 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. None of you will attain true piety unless you give out what you cherish. Whatever you give, Allah Azza wa Jalla knows about it very well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says one of the greatest ways then for the believers to make tawbah, to turn back to Allah Azza wa Jalla, to increase in good, is to spend, to give in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that is why the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a person will come and they will see around them in every direction the fire. So he said, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. So save yourselves from the fire even if it is with a date stone, meaning in sadaqah. And if you can't, then say a good word, which is also a form of charity. Being good and giving and spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, that is something which helps save a person. But the best form of piety and the highest level of Iman is not only to give and spend, but to give and spend in what is the most precious of wealth, most valuable of wealth to you. When some of the companions heard this verse, that you won't attain true piety until you spend from that which is beloved to you, from your most valuable precious wealth, some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ came and they gave away in sadaqah that which they owned in terms of wealth and property. And so, for example, you have the narration of Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, who came and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I have this land, a date palm field, a farm of date palm trees. I wish to give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I heard this verse. And the Prophet ﷺ said, that's an amazing transaction. And so giving, not only from the money that you have to give, sadaqah, you just give here and there, but giving from what is the best of your wealth, or what you feel is something very precious to you and you give it accepting nothing in return, only for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is one of the highest forms of piety. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this is one of the ways that we increase in iman, increase in goodness, increase in coming closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.